Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our traditional pre-close trading update. Just having coffee outside, Milton Becker came up to me and said to me, "You guys have run your course." I said, "What, God, run our course where?" He was actually talking about Tottenham, so doesn't think Tottenham are going to get further in the quarters. Anyway, we'll wait and see. It's been a good sponsorship nevertheless. For those of you who understand soccer, I know I'm talking to rugby-playing people here in Johannesburg, and I'm sure there's some football fans in London. So welcome. I think, is London online? Okay, I think if I just start off, I think conditions have continued the trend seen in the first half of the year and in our previous trading update, which was at the end of January. We've had very good inflows in the asset management and wealth management businesses, supported by solid investment performance. I think in our banking and advisory businesses, we continue to have a mixed performance, although we have seen some improvement with the demand for credit and levels of transactional activity still a little bit subdued. I think operating profit is expected to be marginally higher than the prior year, and the UK business performing ahead with South Africa more or less in line. I think if you look at our balance sheet numbers at the end of Feb, and obviously exchange rates affect these numbers a bit, core loans in advance are up marginally at about 3%, and customer deposits up 7%, so core loans will be about £18.5 billion. Customer deposits about up 7% to £24 billion, and third-party assets under management up 17% to £86 billion. So, you know, that just reflects the kind of conditions we're in, very low demand for credit, a fair amount of liquidity, and good flows into our various fund management businesses. Cash obviously remains strong under that scenario. We've lived at about between £9.5 and £10 billion of surplus cash. Our strategy here is not to drive deposits, but to diversify deposits, not to drive the absolute numbers, but to diversify them and diversify our funding sources. And that strategy continues. And we have been very successful in building our retail franchise, certainly in the UK. We also are limiting concentration risk and have reduced reliance in most of our markets on wholesale funding. Obviously, South Africa is a different place where a lot of the funding, generally speaking, for the banking sector is wholesale. 85% of funding in the system is wholesale. And that's a real challenge for the South African Inc., if I can call it that, going forward to meet the Basel III requirements when they come in 2015. And then also concentrating on reducing the cost of our liabilities. Again, core advances as a percentage of customer deposits at 72%. That says that our lending activities are very well covered by customer deposits. And I think that is a very strong feature of our balance sheet. I think our capital ratios have remained healthy. In Investec PLC, our total ratio will be 16.5% of the tier ratio, one ratio of 12%. In Investec Limited, 15.7%, down slightly from September, and that's really a change in capital required for equities by the regulator. He upped it by 3 and a bit fold, that we had to absorb in this period. So with a Tier 1 ratio of about 11.8%. Now, impairments have remained at elevated levels. I think we said to you in the past, and every time we've spoken, that impairments are still at elevated levels, and we expect them to remain at elevated levels until the middle of next year. When I say next year, I mean the first half of the new financial year. I think the slow pace of economic recovery has really caused the delay in the improvement of non-performing loans. And we have, in this particular set of results, we expect to record an increase in impairments in our private banking area and a reduction in impairments in our capital markets and in our central provisions. And we expect the credit loss ratio to be in the order of about 1.2%. I think When we would have spoken to you last, we would have thought that would have been slightly lower at about 1.1%. But this is an area where things have been slow and the world is in a very clearly a very funny space. I mean, we are really getting to the back end of this, and I think the tail is getting a lot smaller, and hopefully when I stand here this time next year, I will give you a much prettier outlook. But that's where we are at the moment. I think if we look at the overall, what we expect the year-on-year performance to be, I think recurring income as a percentage of operating income will be about 62% compared to 60% last year. We've had a good increase in net interest income, significant increase in fees and commissions receivable from the strong performance of our wealth and asset management in particular and our wealth management franchise, and that we have seen a decline in income from principal activities. So expenses, as we pointed out in September, are up substantially, and they have grown faster than income in this particular year. They come from the acquisition of Rensburg and Lease Direct. They would be in our expense numbers for the full period. Well, not the full period, the one for the full period, the other for 9 months. We had to restructure our UK trust business, which cost us money, and we've had additional headcount in some of our businesses that have been performing particularly well, and we need to support that performance with more headcount. So, as I said, growth in expenses faster than growth in income, which will have an impact on our cost-to-income ratio. However, it is still within our target range. This thing's not going. China, this thing's freezing. Oh, shit. Okay, there we go. I just want to see I'm in the right bay. Okay. If we look at each division, as I said, asset management have had exceptional performance, performing significantly ahead of the first half of this year as well as the prior year. And so far this year we've had inflows of £6.5 billion, which takes the total funds under management in that business up to £56.6 billion. Obviously, you know, markets are a little bit volatile, and exchange rates are quite volatile, so the numbers may shift between end of Feb and end of March, but certainly overall a jump in assets under management of 22% is quite substantial in the environment we've been in, where equity indices have been more or less flattish. Our wealth and investment business has also seen higher funds under management. I think we've made very good progress of the integration of that business into a global business, and certainly the year under review has seen some costs related to integration, etc. But certainly we are seeing a stronger contribution from that business in this period, and you know, we do expect this to be quite a good growth business going forward, particularly as we get global traction in the business. The sale of the Rensburg Fund Management business was completed in January. We got £45 million. That business had £880 million under management, and it obviously we sold it because we had duplication in our asset management structure, and we didn't want to destroy value by integration. We felt it was better for us to sell it, which is something that we have done. And as Andy Leith will always tell you, that some of us are bad sellers of things, so it wasn't a bad job that our boys did there. Our property activities have had a very good performance. I think we remain focused on building our property funds. We will launch a property fund in South Africa mid-April. Sam tells me he starts his roadshow tomorrow. And hopefully, you know, if you remember, we did start Growth Point and we did build Growth Point, which happens to be the biggest property fund in South Africa. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to emulate that, but we do have the pedigree and the skill to do this. So hopefully we'll be successful at that. I think on private banking, conditions are tough there, and they would, in activity levels, although improving, are still not where they, you know, historically would be, so I wouldn't say they were normal. We have had a significant increase in impairments. Obviously, we want to get this impairment cycle behind us, and we would have been more aggressive on that front when you take the outlook of the world out there, which doesn't look as pretty as it may have looked even 6 months ago or 4 months ago. I think in that business we've reported a loss in the UK and Australia. Remember, we also have a business in Ireland. Ireland took a bailout in end of November. when they kept saying they weren't, didn't need a bailout, and you know, we had to take additional write-offs in that place like most other banks would have had to take off. South Africa is performing behind the prior year, and that's a consequence of additional write-offs with muted levels of activity. So what we did see was loans were flat, okay, reflecting weak levels of activity, and deposits up 5%, reflecting the continued attempt to diversify our deposit base. If we look at investment banking, I think it has a bit of a tale of two cities. Corporate finance has seen levels of activity starting to improve as M&A work and some market work started to flow. Obviously, this is very volatile depending on the mood of the world. Trading conditions in the institutional broking space is quite tough, and it has been tough for anyone in that industry. You talk to anyone around the world in that industry, it's tough. Margins are tight, and there is not the kind of deal flow that is out there to keep that business, you know, performing well. On the principal investment side, I think we've done very well in this period. Both in South Africa, we've seen good performance. In the UK, a big improvement. You remember last year we had that global ethanol, which we sold, so we don't no longer have a drag from that. We still have a bit of a drag from the other subsidiary, that investment subsidiary we have called Idatech, which hopefully we'll be able to deal with over the next while. But apart from that, you know, we have performed reasonably well in that space. I think capital markets, we've had a very strong performance globally. Our second half would be marginally behind the first half, but well ahead of the prior year. I think you've seen good levels of activity across advisory and structuring business. I think you've still got muted corporate activity in South Africa. You know, if you look in London, there's a lot of activity that we have been experiencing. And I think it comes notably from what we call principal finance, which is really your fixed income business, structured finance and structured equity finance businesses. And we've also seen a significant reduction in impairments on that front. So they are already through the impairment cycle, whereas private clients, the wealthiest guys, are not quite through it yet. If we get to other activities, I think on central funding, our results would be significantly down from the prior year. I think it comes from certainly much lower levels of average interest rates and a weaker performance from some of our equity investments. If we look at the UK, it's performing ahead of the prior year. We did record a gain from the debt exchange program that we implemented in the second half of this year, and we have had a decline in what we call central impairments. And then we have had an uptick in central costs. You've seen we've been fairly active in terms of brand building, and obviously we have more people in the centre supporting some of the growth initiatives that we've undertaken. So that gives you an overall picture. I think there are one or two additional aspects. We have our effective tax rate will be quite low in this period, about 16%. There are some prior provisions that would no longer be required that would bring that rate down to 16%. We'd have 761 million shares in issue for the period to 31 March, and we would have made an exceptional gain over and above the gain we made on the Rensburg acquisition on the sale of the fund management business of about £18 million. That was over and above the carrying value at the date of acquisition. So, you know, that just gives you enough to work out where life is. I think in conclusion, operating conditions have been difficult as the global geopolitical landscape continues to be uncertain. I think since we last spoke to you directly, you've had Ireland blow up, you've had massive floods in Australia, you've had an earthquake in New Zealand, you've had the Middle East go, you know, two regimes fall over, and another three or four, you know, one having a civil war and others wobbling. And then we've had this massive tsunami in Japan. So I don't think this has been a pretty period. So I think our year under review has echoed some of the difficulties in the geopolitical environment, but with various of our businesses moving at different speeds. Now, maybe that is overplaying it, because if we take six of our core businesses, five have actually had strong operational improvements, in some respects very strong, and one is still suffering from the tail of the crisis, which is elevated impairments, which hopefully, as I said, we'll start seeing dissipate in the not too distant future. So from an operational point of view, one would say that we have done quite well, but are dragged back by the one area where we've had elevated impairments. So our non-capital intensive businesses, which is linked to our strategy of building non-banking type revenue, because capital is an onerous thing under the new regime, and I think you've seen many, many firms, banking firms now tell the world that they are reducing their ROE targets. So, our response to that is, well, we have to build more non-banking revenue, and fortunately we have the platforms to enable us to do that. And they have shown a very strong contribution to earnings. I think, as I said right at the outset, some of our banking businesses have performed particularly well. Certainly the wholesale businesses are performing well. And overall, our results for this period would be constrained by the slow recovery of non-performing loans and levels of transactional activity. Again, if we look at the overall picture, I think our geographic diversity, our operational diversity, has really supported what one would consider in a very tough environment to be a very sound operational performance. So that is the picture. I don't know if anyone has got any questions, but I don't have Louis here today, don't have Ruby. Ruby sent apologies, so I don't know where Louis is. I think when we cut the dividend, he got so upset that he's decided not to come back here. I can tell him we're not cutting any dividend this year, but maybe that will bring him back for May. Questions?
Stephen, just a quick one on that debt exchange program, the profit. Can you disclose what profit you expect to recognise on that?
Yes, it's 30-odd million pounds.
Okay,
30-something, I don't know the exact number.
Thanks.
More questions? Is that it? Nah, we have to get Ruby and what's her name back here. It's not good. Where's Ronnie Clippen? Ronnie, you normally bowl a bounce or two. Nothing today. Where's my mate who tells us Tottenham aren't going through? Mervyn, you've got nothing to add. Where's the gentleman who gave Louis? We got someone in the back.
Just a quick question regarding your property activities. We know that about 2-3 years ago you sold that business that was managing Growthpoint. What's making you want to go back into property in a big way this time around?
Well, we're building a fund. So when we sold Growthpoint at the time, I think we'd managed it for many, many years, and we felt it was opportune for us to actually sell it at that time. Sometimes we've got a bit of a trading mentality, and so we chose to sell it, but we have been building our capability to create a fund over the last while, and that's what we're doing. And there was, at that time, there was all this talk that you can't have your activities alongside a fund. Well, we learned when we look at what happened to our Australian colleagues, not our colleagues, but the Australian market, those guys who ran funds and were doing their own developments and trading all got into trouble. And so we think that our model actually worked very well, because Growthpoint was a great fund. And, we were able to run our activities side by side without conflicts. And although there was perceived conflict, I don't think there is a conflict. I think if you run it with an independent board, you can do very well. And Investec always took some of the risk, and when the risk was bottomed out, then the fund, if they wanted to buy the asset, would buy the asset. And I think that situation worked well for us and proved to be the right model, as opposed to when the funds decide to do all their own development and all their own activities, they all blew up. So I think we're fairly comfortable with the fact that there isn't a conflict. At that stage, we thought there may be a conflict. Another question. There was someone going to come here. I can't. Sir. I think it's incremental. I can remember sitting here when GrowthPoint had a market cap of 1 billion rand, and we said that we want them to be at 4 billion, and then they're now at about, I don't know what their cap is, 25, 30. So it's incremental. These things are incremental. If you perform well, then it will grow. If you don't perform well, it won't. We're confident that we can build that fund into something significant. More questions in Johannesburg? Nothing. Okay, can we go to London? Any questions from London?
Any questions here?
Any questions from London?
Good morning. Could you comment on the impairment charge? Do you believe that impairment has peaked in the UK private banking business? And can you comment specifically on where you're seeing impairment and what sensitivity you would have to further impairment charges if collateral values in the UK fell? I'm specifically relating to property development here.
I think it's an early state day to ask that question because we're just giving you an update, but we do think that we're getting to the back end of where life should be, and that we do believe that we're not going to have a repeat of Ireland. You know, we've written off a hell of a lot of that book, so you can eliminate that. I mean, there's obviously always maybe a tail and swings and roundabouts, but certainly we're not going to have a repeat of that. And I think that, we probably in a fairly reasonable position in the rest of our business. So, we haven't been writing a lot of this stuff for the last 4 years. So this is a tale from way back, and we're getting to the end of the tale. More questions?
No more questions, Stephen.
Nothing. Okay. Anyone want to come back at us here? Okay. Thanks very much. We'll see you guys in May.